They were once having a big church conference, you know, when all the churches get together and all the ministers get together and all the families get together, and they handed them a helium balloon. And they said, all right, sometime in the service, when you feel the joy of the Lord rising up in you and you want to praise the Lord, I want you to release your balloon. So they go through this hour and a half service, and a few balloons were released here and there, but at the end of the service, one-third of the balloons were still being held in the people's hands. What's the deal with praise? Why are we afraid to praise? Why do we hold on to the voice within us that wells up? Why are we afraid to let loose of the balloon and praise the Lord? What is it? I ask you today, we talk so much about our prayer life, but today I'm going to ask you about your praise life. Is there a difference? Are prayer and praise the same thing? Not at all. You know, in prayer, the word tauda in the Hebrew, it talks about kind of basically a person in need is crying out for someone who can help them. Prayer is a crying out unto God and seeking help from God. And so prayer comes out of a basis of need. Praise, however, does not come out of a basis of need. It comes out of a basis of abundance. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, it says. When we praise, we lift up the abundance of what we have and who God is. We lift that up in public places. So over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the Psalms of Praise. That was their pop music, P-O-P. That was the pop music of the early church. Remember, the Psalms was the hymn book of the early church. So some of these Psalms we're going to be talking about would be sung by our Savior, Jesus Christ. This was the hymn book he used here. And I want to challenge us over these next few weeks to become people of praise. We definitely want to become people of prayer, but we also need to become people of praise. And I want to turn over, if you have your Bible, over to Psalm 145. We're going to look at Psalm 145 today. And I picked this one because I feel like it kind of overviews the whole idea of what praise is. I believe it's a call to praise. Now, surprisingly, it's the only one of the Psalms that has this little title underneath. See if it has it in your Bible. It says, A Psalm of Praise of David. It's the only time that little tagline is used is on this particular psalm. And that word for praise here is the word tehillah. Come on, say it with me. Tehillah. There's actually seven different words. We talked about that in a previous sermon last year, about the seven different words for praise. This is the word tehillah here. And tehillah means to sing. It means to sing a song. It means to sing it out, to proclaim it in verse. It means to not be afraid to sing a song. And I know you say, well, I can't sing. Well, you know what? Praise has nothing to do with your voice in terms of how it sounds. It's an outgrowth of what's in your heart. And here, this psalm, it says, a psalm of praise, a song of praise of David. And I think it's the last one of David, Psalm 145. And then we'll see the last five of these psalms are all in a group called the Psalms of Praise. Now, also interesting to note about this, this is an acrostic psalm. What it means is if you looked at the Hebrew of this psalm, you would find out that every sentence begins with a different letter of the alphabet. So he wrote the first sentence starts with A and goes all the way down through Z. So really you could summarize it like this. This is the A to Z of praise right here in Psalm 145. So we're going to learn a little bit about praise today, and I hope that this will move you to let go of your balloon. Express your heart. There's almost no way to praise if you can't release your heart and express it. Father God, I thank you this morning I praise you in advance for what you're about to do. We already feel your presence here very wonderfully with us. And we are so excited always to gather and praise you. But Lord, we are more likely to prayer, to request, to seek your help than we are to praise who you are. So Lord, today I pray that we will become a people of praise, that we would be someone who others can see in our lives that we have a personal and persistent relationship with Jesus Christ. And out of this relationship comes our praise for him and praise for God the Father and praise of the Holy Spirit as well. Lord, I pray the words of my mouth today would not be my words, Father, but your words spoken through me, that each of us here today may receive the exact message you would have us to receive. And Holy Spirit, we release this message unto you to do with it as you please. I pray, Lord, you would just shut my mouth and you would work when necessary. And Lord, we give it all to you today. This is your service and this is your message from your word. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Turn over to Psalm 145. Let me read this psalm for you. Just follow along in your Bible there. Listen to what it says. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and exalt your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can even understand. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but the wicked will be destroyed. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. The word of the Lord to the people of God. I thought about this. I want to look at the power of praise and then the person of God and the purpose of praise here real quickly. First, I want you to see the power of praise comes from this. First, it's a personal thing. Look what he says here. I will exalt you, my God, the King. You know what? If your praise is not personal, if you haven't grabbed a hold of this personal relationship, you know what? You don't know what we're talking about here. You know, your God, somebody else's God, means nothing to you. But when you can say, it is my God in my relationship, I believe that's a power in it. People will respect it when you say, hey, it's my God I'm talking about. Not this guy way out there, not some God. And more than that, it's got to be persistent. Look, he says, I will extol you, my God. I will praise your name forever and ever. In fact, every day I will praise you. This persistence about it, it's got to be a lifestyle of praise. Not a momentary praise. It's not, doesn't say, does yours say, when I go to church on Sunday, when I'm in the church? I think it says forever and ever, every day. I think it means a walking in a persistent lifestyle. This is the power of praise. This is not people who call upon the name of the Lord when they need help or with their other Christian brothers. You know those people, don't you? They're with their other brothers and sisters. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord, brother. That's right, that's right. But then when they're not Christians or if they're at the office or they're doing something else, the praise of the Lord never comes out of their mouth. They're just trying to fit in with everybody else, you know? He, though, the power of this is a lifestyle. Somebody who wants to live it out. And then this word, exalt or extol. The word in Hebrew is actually the word room. Room, just like you have room here. But it means to proclaim. Number three in your outline here is to proclaim. The power of praise only happens when you proclaim it. He said, I will exalt you. I will extol you. About four different times here, he says that we have to extol or lift up. It means to lift up the name in public. And again, there's nothing wrong with praising God in private. You can do that too. That's really good. But here, David says, man, I want to praise you in public. The power of praise is that people see who is your God. People see which team you're on. You can say all the time, well, I don't have to say anything and people will see my life. Maybe. But there's a lot of good people that do a lot of good things, right? So maybe you need to praise God so they know whose team you're on and why you're doing what you're doing. Because we need to exalt his name. We need to lift it up. How hard is it? Oh, I don't want to get off on this, but how hard is it for us to say praise God? How hard is it for us in public places just to say praise be to God? How hard is it to say thank you, Jesus? How hard is it to identify ourselves with the one who has given us everything? How many of y'all are still holding on to your balloon right now? Let go. Proclaim. Exalt. Speak out. Now, what are we speaking out about? I love this. Here in this Psalms, he gives us the reason why we praise. And you know what? It has nothing to do with what's happening to us. You know, if we only praise God in the good times, what kind of lifestyle is that? Is that what he says here? No, he says, I will praise you forever and ever, every day. In fact, Scripture tells us over and over again to be thankful and praise him in all circumstance. But here's why. Here's why we praise. Because all this is about the person of God. It's all because of who he is, not what he does. Do you get that? Who is this God we worship? Who is this God we praise? If we ever grab a hold of this, then praise becomes easy. As long as praise is about, hey, God, what have you done for me lately? You know, God, my life's not too good right now. I can't pay my rent. I don't have what I want. And suddenly, praise becomes about what he's done for me. Instead, David here has it. He says, praise is not about what he's done, it's who he is. Look at these four things that he points out here. Verses 3 through 7, he first talks about the greatness. This first word in verse 3, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Great. The greatness of God, the magnitude of God, the awesome magnitude of God. We're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks, but if you look at creation and the phenomenal picture of creation, you know what? Let me just say this. I'm going to allude to this later on, but have you ever seen a model of the universe? Have you ever seen a model of the universe? Okay. It is impossible to model the universe. Why? Because we haven't got to the other end yet. And Say you want to put Earth on a model of the universe. Let me just give you a hint. Say you had a ball that's 1 inch in diameter, like a little ping pong ball, okay? Now, where is the closest galaxy to Earth from this 1 inch ping pong ball on a model? How about 51,000 miles away? And that's just the closest galaxy. From this, according to this model, it's 51,000 miles to the nearest galaxy on this model. And that's just the first galaxy of infinite numbers of galaxies out there. Now, come on, if that doesn't stir you up today, if that doesn't overwhelm you about the greatness of God, the creator of the universe, and you just take that so lightly until you realize how big we are talking about, how vast is the greatness of God, and then you come down from the bigness into the smallness. What have we realized the more we zoom in into the molecule and the molecular, into the inner smaller realms of life? We can't get to the end of that either. We're still learning more and more about the simplest, smallest atom in the universe. There is no end to the greatness and the vastness of God. And look, he uses these three words in here, and there's so much more to talk about. But number one on your greatness is worthy. The word is ma'ad. Worthy to be praised. He is so great that it's worthy, and that word is actually quick. It means he is so great, you better be in a hurry to praise him. He is so worthy of it, you better be running to praise him. This is not somebody who you just would saunter in and praise, like, yeah, I guess he needs some praise. He is so great, so vast, that he deserves to be quickly praised. And not only that, it says in verse 3, his greatness no one can fathom. The word is unsearchable. I-N actually means nothing. Nothing can describe his greatness. Put it into words. How would you describe? And of course, there's always that five-year-old. Five-year-old was working on a piece of paper. And mom says, what are you doing? And she says, well, I'm drawing a picture of God. And mom says, well, nobody knows what God looks like. She says, well, they will in just a minute. But it's really unsearchable, isn't it? It's unexplainable. There is nothing that can describe the greatness of God. That's what blows us away. It is unsearchable. Then later on, he uses another great word in verse 5. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. Wow, majesty. Howd. The word is howd. It means excellence. It means worthiness to be lifted up, the excellence, the perfection, the absolute perfection of something. He is so great and his majesty is so amazing that it should cause us to praise. Just think about what he's made. Think about who he is. The perfection of all that he is. The second major category starts in verse 8, and he says, the Lord is gracious. So number one was greatness. Number two is his grace. Now I want to tell you, people have misunderstood God. Now I'm not about to defend God here. But have you ever heard this? People say, you know, in the Old Testament, God's mean. He hurts people. In the New Testament, grace came in and he's all nice to people now, right? Is that true? Not at all. I mean, really, the more you study and understand the basis for what God is doing in the Old Testament, you see how gracious he is. But this verse, number 8, man, you need to highlight this in your Bible. This is like one of the key scriptures of life here. He says, the Lord is gracious, that word is chanaum, to give you what you do not deserve. He gives us what we do not deserve. Do you understand that God was the God of grace in the Old Testament? He was the God of judgment, but you understand, judgment without grace is meaningless. You have to have mercy and grace together. And God is the God of grace. And then he says also, he is compassionate. That word is for merciful, rakom, to mean showing you mercy, which means not giving you what you deserve. How much do we deserve from God? What do we deserve from God? Death, right? We're sinners. We're broken. In fact, he doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we don't deserve, and that's grace. And then one of the greatest words in the Old Testament. Boy, if I could just preach on this for you, we could just ride this little train for as long as you wanted to ride it. The word here, it says, slow in anger and rich in love. That is the word chesed. Come on, you get to say it with me. It's fun. Chesed. Oh, my goodness. It's the loving kindness that God shows. It's that sense of love, the chesed of God, goes back to the early days when he first called Adam and Eve out, when he first called Abraham out. It was out of his chesed, his loving kindness for humanity, that he called them out. And so he says here, all of this grace is grace and mercy and long-suffering or loving kindness. That chesed of God is so great, so gracious. It should compel us to praise him. You know, if you were to stand before a judge today and the judge was to say, you're going to have a life sentence. I'm going to make you stay in that jail for the next 70 years of your life. How would you feel today? And then somebody came up and said, you know what? I'll take your place. I'll step on that. I'll go to prison and let you go free. How would you feel? Wow, I deserve that. Why is that person showing me this kind of love? I don't deserve it. And that's exactly what happened, right? He took upon himself our sin so that we wouldn't be punished. I mean, we receive that chesed from God, the love of God, that chesed, the grace of God, the mercy of God in the form of Jesus Christ. Next, he goes in the second half of verse 13, the faithfulness of God. Number three is the faithfulness of God. He says, it says, he upholds those who fall. The word upholds there, kamak, means to give rest. He gives encouragement. He gives hope. He gives help to those who have fallen. He is faithful to his people. Over and over again, it says, he has loving kindness toward all things he has made. He upholds those who fall. He lifts up those who are bowed down. And again, these are his people. Once he makes a covenant with you, once you make a covenant with him, you know what? You can bank on that covenant. He is faithful. He will lift up those who are fallen. He will lift up those who are bowed down with the life, with the worries and difficulties of the life of life. Verse 15, his eyes of all look to you who give them their food at proper time. He feeds the hungry. Part two in your outline. He feeds the hungry. We believe that every morsel of food comes from where? From God. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Give us this day our daily bread. And this is just the reflection of what he's talking about back in the psalm. You and I think, well, I earn that money. I go out and buy that food. I cook it on my own little place. I do this for me. No, you don't. No, we don't. Everything we have, every even potentiality we have, every ability we have to make the money that we have comes from him. He feeds the hungry. And then it goes on so far, the Lord is near. The Lord is righteous. Let's see. He opens his hand, verse number 16, and satisfies the desires of every living thing. He provides for the needy. He provides not only for us, but for every animal. Every living thing. He is in every living thing and providing for every living thing. God is very faithful to those who depend on him. And then one last thing, verse 17 is the fourth category here. It says, the Lord is righteous. Tzedek, right in everything he does. Right in everything he does. Again, do we know anybody, anywhere, who we can trust to do the right thing every time? No. And yet he is righteous. And see what's really cool? It says the Lord, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him. You see, he's near. He understands your need. He is aware of your need for righteousness. He knows the struggle that you're going through. He is not a distant God who's like, well, you did it. Good luck. He is really close by in what's going on. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. The Lord, verse 20, the Lord watches over. Here's number two. He watches over those who fear him. He's constantly involved in what we're going through. But look, this is important too. But the wicked will be destroyed. Number three, he does judge the wicked. How many times do you get frustrated when it seems like that other people get away with stuff? And the fact is, you can trust his righteousness, not only to do what's right for you, but also to treat those who aren't doing right in proper way. That he will take them down to where they need to be. You can trust that. So then we come to the purpose of praise. Why are we to praise? Why are we even talking about this for the next few weeks? It's last verse right here. Look at this last verse. My mouth will speak in praise to the Lord. The purpose of praise is to activate your mouth. You and I are called to be people who praise God. And sure, we can praise God with our hands. It's one of the ways, one of the seven ways of praising is with your hands, by bowing down. It has to do with worship. It's all the different ways of worship. But here, the Tehillah, the song of praise, the basic way, the A through Z standard way to praise has something to do with your mouth. He says, I will speak in praise to the Lord. There's no reason for anybody in your sphere of influence to not know which team you're on. We just came from a celebration of evil last night. And you know it's my pet peeve, and I won't get off on this soapbox right here. But this is why I do not think that we should participate very heavily in anything to do with Halloween. Because in my opinion, we act like we're on that team when we participate in what that team is doing. Instead, I like what we did, light the nights. I like what we do when we praise the name of Christ. We praise the name of God on those nights. So people say, look, he's a part of that team. Number two, let every creature praise what? His holy name. Lift up his name. We lift up the name of God. We lift up his name. Anytime we can say the name of Jesus, we need to say the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus, and we need to speak it out loud as part of our praise. In other words, I'm realizing more and more that praise and evangelism and witness go together. How can we witness to somebody if they don't see a lifestyle of continual, perpetual, personal praise to God? And in fact, other places in the scripture here, verses 4, verses 6, verse 7, verse 11, all talk about proclaiming his deeds. And the purpose of praise is to tell people what God has done in your life. Tell them about the deeds, the things he said, the things he's done, the way he's worked. You don't have to be a theologian. Matter of fact, I'm deciding, you know, that spitting out too much scripture only confuses people that don't know the scripture. Okay? And in fact, what they will try to do is drag us into a deep and losing conversation about, well, this scripture says this and that scripture says that. You know what? Here's where we start. Let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me tell you where I was. Hopeless and helpless. Defeated. And then I realized that Jesus died for me. And since then, God has blessed me here, and he's done this in my life, and I couldn't believe it. And then he did this miracle in my life, and oh my goodness, let me tell you what he did with my daughter here. Oh my goodness. And then he, you know what I mean? We begin to tell the story of what God has done in our lives, and people, they can't debate that, can they? They can say, well, that wasn't God. Well, fine. I believe it was. I know it was. And that message, declaring, proclaiming his deeds to the world. And then again in verse 11a, it says, tell of his glorious kingdom. And his glorious kingdom is the fact that he is bringing all the world back to his kingdom. He is restoring over time. He wants to bring the whole world into his reign again. You see, there's an ultimate purpose to this world. And this is what I think people need to know. You need to tell the nations that God is bringing us all back to his kingdom. Wow. Mike, let's go up here. How is your praise life? I hope your prayer life is great. But I challenge you and I both to be like this guy right here. Every day, I will praise you. And I will extol your name. I will lift up your name every single day. I will publicly express my heart for you, what you have done, who you are, what you are doing in the world. I will express that to anybody every day. There's no reason we need to hang on to our balloon. No reason that we need to have this love in our heart for God, and yet it never comes out of our mouth. It needs. And I don't even want to put a guilt trip on you, you know? I really don't. Because doing something out of duty is going to be failing too, you know? I guess I just want you to look at again. Who is this God? Man, his greatness, his grace, his faithfulness, his righteousness, the more we learn about him, the more we can't help but praise. My hero, John Wesley, you know, 1791, he died at the 88 years of age. But I want you to know what on his deathbed, his last words were a hymn. And the hymn was, I'll praise my maker while I have breath. That was his last song. And I want you to say, that should be our last song. I will praise him while I have breath. I will not be ashamed. I will not be afraid. I know whom I have believed. Oh man, he is worthy. Quickly, he's worthy of praise. Father, I pray for all those who hear my voice this morning. Father, I challenge them. I challenge us as a body to continue to grow deeper and closer in our prayer life. But also, Lord, to grow deeper and closer in our praise life. Letting the whole world know. Being willing to truly praise with our lips and our hearts. To sing a song of praise like Psalm 145. And maybe, Lord, we can use this as a tool. Maybe we say, I don't know what to say. Well, let's recite this psalm. Let's memorize these songs of praise. And let's recite them as a way to learn how to speak out. For, Lord, we have to share it. It has to be said. And Father, I pray this morning for those who don't know you. There may be some in our midst that have never said yes to you, and they don't know the love that we're talking about. They don't understand the depths of the passion that we feel. But Lord, they can this morning. They can know it. And maybe they're just waiting on someone else to praise you and lead them in how to praise you. Father, I pray that they would come, they would say yes to you today. They would turn their heart to you and realize that you love them and you showed that by dying on the cross for them, for shedding your blood and giving your life for them. And what they have to do is take responsibility to say, yes, I want that life for me. Father, I just pray this morning, if anybody is in the hearing of my voice, whether it's here this morning or somewhere on out there in cyberspace, Lord, I just pray that they would turn to you and say yes to you today and find someone who can guide them and disciple them in the scripture. But Lord, for those here this morning, I just pray you would say yes and come and get to know this great God who loves you.